have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports.
It's Toucher and Rich's.
Toucher and Rich, who are a bunch of sports yahoos.
The best moments of 2018.
Share some memories.
Yahoos.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, this gives us an opportunity to revisit all the wonderful things we've done. It's been so hard to pick between all the fantastic things we've done this year. And I have no idea what we're playing today. What are we playing today, Rich?
We met two true heroes. And honestly, these local guys might be the reason that the Red Sox won the World Series.
All right. There's a story that came out about these two guys. And are they father and son?
No, they're
not. Or is it just Malden? Everyone looks the same.
Best buds.
All right, anyway, so I don't know how much of this I have to set up, Rich, but these men acquired the 2018 Red Sox Division Championship banner. Now, is that the only thing I have to set up?
Okay, so basically what you need to know is that these gentlemen the other morning were driving around, and they were at an intersection in Somerville.
Yeah.
They're from Malden, but they're intersection in Somerville.
Was it an intersection or was it a highway?
It was a road.
Because they claim that there was many lanes and much danger.
Well, we will get to that.
And it was a highway,
they were saying people were avoiding something in the road. And maybe we let them explain the rest. All I know is that one of the guys' names Yacuzzi is his last name. Louis Lacuzzi, which is just perfect. We immediately asked Mr. Byrd over here whether he knows these two gentlemen. If anyone knows them or knows the deal, 617-779-0985. I've reached out to both of them. I have not heard back, and there may be a reason why.
I have a good reason.
Which I will tell you after we play this.
Yeah,
okay?
I have a feeling.
All right, so once again, these two gentlemen have the AL East banner, which would hang right there on, what is the new name of Yawkey Way? No, it's Lansdowne. It would be Lansdowne, right?
Yeah, it would just be out there. All right, here we go.
Now, we have our coffee run. We're driving on McGrath Highway in Somerville. And I noticed a couple cars swinging, like moving to the right, and we seen something in the street. And he's like, Louie, what is that? What is it? I'm like, I don't know. What is it? So I ran across the highway to grab it. We brought it in the car. We had no idea what it was.
Boston.
It was wrapped up in a brown paper bag.
Okay, I have Megan real quick. I'm sorry. I have questions.
Yeah, so do I. I think we all do. Okay, can I start with one?
Sure.
It's a banner that they're going to unfurl that is probably about, what, 40 yards long? Okay. Huh?
Okay, how does a banner just fall?
No, it's huge.
It's the one that would hang outside of the Fenway Park.
It's
not
massive. But it's massive.
It's massive.
It's massive. So my question is, A, the brown paper bag. They must have gone to the liquor store and put it in the bag. And two, you're lifting that off the highway and negotiating traffic with that big-ass banner?
I mean, do people in Malden just do that when they see something on the side of the road?
Oh, my God. Everybody stops. Oh, yeah.
And you all run across it because that's what you do when you see it in the road.
It's a free-for-all.
It's a big pile of something. It could be worth.
Let's stop the car.
It could be worth a few.
Oh, yeah. It's a free-for-all.
They're playing like Malden Frogger. Hey!
Yeah.
Look out. It's a pickup truck.
It's called What's in the Road.
Yeah.
It's like modern-day gold mining.
Right there.
What's in the road?
They're Malden gold miners and the prospectors of yore.
Right.
Oh, that's a perfectly good tie. It just needs a patch.
Here we go.
I mean, it's like, how many piles of trash have they just picked up on the side of the road?
Well, it's a numbers game, Rich. I mean,
you're going to strike gold every
eventually. That's right. Yeah. It's a numbers game.
First thing I said, this belongs to the Red Sox. This is for Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Like, how do we...
As opposed to anyone else that would unfurl a massive banner celebrating a divisional championship.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this. This belongs to the park. I'm thinking that they're hanging off the Green Monster.
It just magically existed. Nobody made this.
Nobody made it. It was a gift from the heavens.
The Everett gods.
Yes. The ones that put the big pyramid in the casino.
We want to give it back to them because it belongs to them, and it doesn't belong to us. Yeah. But in reciprocation, we would like, you know, maybe to go to a nice playoff game. Or we were looking for something. We just don't want to hand it over to them.
Right? I mean,
we need to negotiate here. We want to, we're looking for, like, you know.
We're working, too.
Yeah.
All right, here's the negotiation. I won't put you in jail.
These Red Sox, they got no idea how to negotiate, all right?
They go there and they're like, all right, I want tickets to every playoff game and I want a bat signed by Mookie Betts and $50. And they're like, here's half a pack of Newports. Deal.
The best is that the two guys were like, hey, all right, the Boston Globe is coming to film a video. Hey, Joey, get your finest flannel shirt. And Louie, hey, don't worry about me. I got a red shirt that has a mousetrap made out of $100 bills. That's actually what he wore to the interview. It's like I'm catching money everywhere I go.
That's right. I lure you into my trap of money. All right, here we go.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes, traffic.
But we know that that's the original one.
We were told there was only one made.
Yeah, we were told there was only one being made.
So at that point, that tells us.
Who told you that?
That's right. That's
right. John across the street knows a guy that said it was the only one made.
The guy who tipped us off to know when the truck was going to be sitting there in the parking lot with unlocked in the back.
Yes.
But then they told us they had a duplicate. So if they do try to put a duplicate up, you best believe we're going to show up and say,
we have the right one.
That's not the right. That's not the original.
Oh, please do that.
Yeah.
Please. That would make my... Imagine that. Like, it's up there hanging. There's two guys standing outside.
Wait a minute. That shouldn't be there. We have the one.
Fraud. It's a fraud. We got the real one.
Because if you made another one, I mean, it totally... It's like a baseball card.
In their minds, there's going to be a massive uproar. It's like, what? Wait a minute. Give these guys a break.
That's not the original one. Oh, it's of great value.
I like how these guys are making it sound like the Red Sox don't have enough money to just make 40 more of these. If they
Our station
to.
Could make three of those.
Right. It's not the same.
Yeah, like who cares if it's the original one? And you best believe we'll be there.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Please, just imagine them sitting outside.
It's fraudulent.
Oh.
Standing outside of what, though? Because they can't get through security.
Well, I mean, it's just on Lansdowne.
Well, there's
just like, hangs over the street where, like, the sausage guy is.
No, but they'll be at, like, that beer company and, like, just Beer Works or whatever. They'll, like, be across the street with the banner because they can't sniff the stadium. Copperfields or whatever.
Yeah.
Copperfields! Does anyone on the line know them? Because I got the
vibe. Yes, line
them.
Three.
Okay, let me go to line. I can't have them up at the same time. All right. Chris, go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, I know these two. Complete morons. This wouldn't be the first time something like this happened with this kid, Louie.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Complete brain dead.
Well, right. I have to. The audio evidence says otherwise.
Let let it roll, man. Because they have a plan.
I know. Right? I know. I've seen this one. All right, here we go.
Original.
So we're hoping that they don't make one and they put the right one up.
We're hoping they do the right thing. Yep. You know, we did the right thing. We could have kept it. We could have put it on eBay. We could have, you know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
We have a guy that's in the underground banner trade.
It's black market banner.
We know a guy who's
called Flaps. We call him Flaps in the underground. He deals with these banners.
I mean, this guy deals with flags, banners, any kind of thing you could hang at a parade.
He's a flag fence.
He fences flags.
He fences flags.
We got sources.
We got sources.
I just love that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we have the 2017 Biloxi Chili Kickoff original mint.
This guy's like, oh, we got the Red Sox over a barrel. We got them.
But we know some guys who can fence this massive banner. And then, hey, what's that? It's a banner the Red Sox made about the divisional championship. But don't they have one hanging up now? Yeah, but this is the original. $5 million.
This is like the Isabella Stewart Gardner, like all that wonderful art that got stolen was sold in the black market. I know that guy.
He fences. He likes to fence.
It's an original.
Massive banners.
We're big supporters of the Red Sox.
And we want to see them win, and we want this banner to go back on Lansdowne Street or wherever it belongs.
Okay. Now, if you all don't mind me as I nod off.
That's right. Slaps him, wakes him up. So the follow-up news, Fred, which you have not heard, is that apparently the Red Sox have gotten their banner back, and they gave these guys nothing in return, which immediately we go, methinks there might be shenanigans. So according to a follow-up article in the Boston Globe, the guy who made the banner, or the company Flag Graphics, said, we've already had a new banner made. He said he wasn't sure if the original banner, quote, fell off the truck or if it walked off the truck. I've been doing work for the Boston Red Sox since 92. Nothing ever happened like this. Later in the interview, this gentleman, LaFuente, said flatly that, quote, these guys stole my banner and, quote, should be ashamed of themselves. This is not Boston. He did, however, concede that his driver sometimes uses McGrath Highway during normal business hours. The theft allegation did not sit well with Louis Yacuzzi, who said in a third interview that, quote, they lost the blank. They're the ones that blanked it up. I found it. I'm trying to do the right thing. Yacuzzi described himself as a good Samaritan. If I didn't pick it up, 100 people would have ran over it.
Wait, a good Samaritan?
Yeah.
Didn't the good Samaritan just, like, return the banner?
No, good Samaritans. No, John. A good Samaritan is, teach your kids this, I know you have two kids.
Okay.
Is when you find something that belongs to someone else, you take bribes to get it back.
Oh, that's my mistake. Yeah.
You blackmail them.
Right.
Right, you know?
That's what being a good Samaritan is.
Louis, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. What is it?
Can you picture those two guys in a car together? Louis, what is that? I don't know.
Pull it over.
No, but let's just cross traffic.
No, just stop here in the left lane.
And then Yacuzzi says, listen, I don't want $1 million. I don't need $1 million. Can't you see my shirt that's a mousetrap made out of $100 a bill? I obviously am a man of means. You can tell by my earrings.
These are straight cubic zirconia.
I said, all I wanted to do was maybe bring my family, my friends to a blanket baseball game, maybe meet a player. The flag is back home with the Boston Red Sox. Says as the unlikely tales began circulating on local media, Yacuzzi lamented his newfound notoriety. I want to tell you guys something. I found the flag, Yacuzzi said. I was never looking for money or fame or anything. I wanted to return it ever since I seen it, which makes me sound like the reason that we're not hearing from anybody is because they possibly might have been up to shenanigans.
And they didn't want any notoriety, so the news just happened to be in Malden. So these two guys with the big banner. All right, there's much more audio to play. We'll get to that.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
I mean, that guy is so close to closing his eyes and just going away.
The fact that they just are like, they can make another one. Oh, can they now?
Checkmate. We have until October.
Have you seen the picture in the paper? It could be a more perfect Boston picture.
He's like, I can't stop smoking for 10 seconds.
The dude's still smoking as they're taking the banner out of the trunk.
He just can't stop smoking. Hang on a second. Be real careful. Don't let the ashes hit it. I am being careful.
This is a story they will tell until they're 90.
Can you imagine them like running up to Fenway Park and like dropping the banner and then taking off?
People have been saying, hang on. I have a feeling these two gentlemen possibly have been in the news before.
Louis, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. What is it?
It's a baby wheel, man.
Yeah. Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
That's a tuna, bro.
Jay, we could get some big money for that if it's a fish bite.
In reciprocation, we would like, you know, maybe to go to a nice playoff game. Or we were looking for something. We just don't want to hand it over to them.
That is still good meat on that fish, kid.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Holy people, will you look at this fish.
You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
That's the best we sold to the sources.
My man had to run over three lanes of traffic.
Yeah, I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Three lanes of traffic. I'm like Mitch Hedberg if I got hit in the head with a shovel.
Tickets in October. You know what I'm saying?
They should just give him tickets to the last game of the regular
That's
season.
Right.
That's where the car hit it.
But now it sounds like the reason they're not giving him anything is because apparently the people who made the banner, and apparently they said that they believe that they stole it.
Well, yeah, but it got dropped off, so you know that they just drove by Fenway and put it on the ground and then took off.
It just ran.
It just ran as fast as they could.
They're big supporters of the Red Sox.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub, where Tutcher and Rich and my father, Fred Tutcher Jr., is a big Steelers fan. He has been since the early 70s. Hi, Dad.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, you came in as with a ball of energy.
Good morning, Mr. Tutcher.
That's right.
Hello.
You came in with a...
Hello, Rich. How you doing?
Oh, doing excellent. We've had a lot of fathers on the show recently, some that are obsessed with recliner. Do you sleep in a recliner, Mr. Tutcher?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No, I sleep in a bed.
He lives in a bed.
Basically. I'm old-fashioned.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you were at the Immaculate Reception game, were you not?
I was, yes. Absolutely.
And you couldn't see what was going on. You had to...
I was looking for flags. Right. I was looking up the field for flags, and I heard this wall of sound coming from the other end of the stadium. And I turned to look at the sound, and I saw Franco run like hell about 3-yard line.
Right.
And then they stopped the game for about 5 minutes doing something illegal, which was to, at that time, which was to go to watch the film to see whether or not two Steelers had touched the ball, which was illegal at that time, in a row. And I didn't really know how that was before Jumbotrons, and I really didn't know how they had scored.
Now, George Perlis was the defensive coordinator at the time.
He was, yes.
And he went on to coach Michigan State football.
He did.
Now, you hung out with him one time, did you not?
Yes, I did. I went to a wine tasting party with him one time.
And how did he end up?
The wine tasting party kind of degenerated, and all the guys were standing in the... in the entrance to the house, inside the house, you know, where the stairs go up to the second floor.
Yeah.
And George was sitting on the stairs with a bottle of red wine in one hand and a bottle of white wine in the other, telling football stories.
Now, did he pass out at any point?
No, I don't think he passed out at any point, no.
Okay.
No,
no. All right. So, this is in, the Steelers have been playing very poorly.
Yes, they have.
They've fallen. They have no running game right now. Even with Connor, they've had trouble running the ball.
Well, yes, they well for the last 3 or 4 games. Yes, that's true.
All right. So, what is your impression of this game, and how do you think this is going to go?
Well, first of all, I think the two teams. It's going to be a very interesting game because the two teams came off the worst losses in the history of football last week. And I'm not sure which one was worse. I thought that the Patriots loss was just incredibly awful until the Steelers game, and that was in a sense even worse.
The Steelers one, I would say, is excusable because the turf was so bad. Like at least you have that excuse. That Miami thing was. There's no excuse for that to happen.
Well, the turf was so bad. That guy Bostic was an All-Pro last year. Okay, and this year something's in his head, and he's just awful.
Yeah, and they were gonna get rid of him this week. They brought a guy.
They had a couple kickers that came in, I think, and previewed, but they stuck with him. But he's going through some, I think, mental therapy this week. So he probably will still. I don't know how many. He's missed a lot of extra points this year, and I think he's about 500 on field goals. It's just a complete turnaround. It's awful.
All right.
But
so,
then he's not the only person that's contributed to it.
Now, do you think Ben Roethlisberger has started mailing it in?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I think I think this is not the Steelers of old. I mean, I don't know what kind of Steeler team it is. I'm very depressed about it. But I think that the only game they got right now, their offensive line, which is supposed to be the best offensive line in football, just can't seem to generate any kind of running game, like you said, Fred. So I think they're going to be like an aerial circus this weekend. I think that's the only way they can win. If they can't score, my guess is if they can score 28 points, they'll win the game. If they can't score 28 points, they won't win the game.
All right, Mr. Toucher, what was the worst trouble Fred ever got into as a kid?
There's so many choices. I'm not sure that I can. I can pick one out. You know, I mean, that would be. You'd have to let me. You'd have to let me think about that.
I don't think my father was generally aware of what was going on there.
Well, let's put it this way: I found a lot of things out in the last 20 or 30 years. I'm glad I didn't know about it at the time.
That's right. I was getting laid like a madman.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
There's a lot of that could be retrospect, too.
Yes, I'm lying about half of it. Do you remember you've bought me one Christmas gift in my life. Do you remember the one Christmas gift that you bought me?
I've only bought you one Christmas gift in your life?
I bought
you a car.
Yeah. All right.
That was a minor gift.
All right.
You're pretty happy about that.
Did you buy it or did Mom buy it? I mean, it was your money.
No, I bought it.
Okay. Besides the car, which was very nice, do you remember I was unaware that you bought it. I just assumed Mom did.
You assumed Mom bought the car?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't sound like you were too much around either, Fred.
I had a big heroin problem at that time.
That's right.
All right. Do you remember the other gift that you bought me?
I was in on the kitten gift.
With the cat. You weren't in on that. You were not in on that at all.
I was in on that.
No.
I even made the box the cat was in.
You made the box?
I made the holes in the box so the cat could breathe.
Okay, well, what a work of art that was. All right, no, you bought me a Weird Al Yankovic record, vinyl record.
I remember that, but I do like Weird Al Yankovic. I still do. In fact, I've heard it on the radio the other day. I brought back memories.
Well, you and John Wallach have something in common now.
That's true.
I'm sure we have a lot in common. We just sit down and talk about it. Yeah.
All right, so... I want to get back to the Steelers, but what is the worst gifts that you've given Mom for Christmas?
Oh, I think I gave her, I don't know, there was a period of time there, I gave her some pretty bad gifts, I think. I don't know, but I'm sure you could tell me.
Where would you go?
I got records or something one time. I remember.
No, that was me, and then she started crying and yelling at me. Yeah, I gave her an Air Supply record, and she started screaming at me.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right, yeah, she started screaming at me Christmas morning. Now, no, where would you go on New Year's Eve? Because sometimes you had not bought a gift before New Year's Eve. Where would you go to buy her gifts?
No, I would buy. It was Christmas Eve. I wouldn't buy the gift.
Yeah, Christmas Eve, you would buy her gifts.
Yes, you said New Year's Eve.
No, I'm sorry. Christmas Eve, you would buy her gifts.
Yeah, well, you got to correct yourself. You're on radio.
All right, where would you go?
I would go to the local drugstore.
Damn straight you would.
And
absolutely.
Yes,
that's right. I didn't believe in you know, rushing the season. I believed in enjoying the moment right before. That was the Christmas you're referring to. I don't remember exactly what I got her, but I did get her from a drugstore.
Yeah, you got her tennis balls, like vacuum bags.
Oh. Yeah, well, it was thoughtful. She played tennis.
Yeah,
it's a vacuum.
Who could have thought of that? All right, so the Steelers. Was it a bad Christmas from you when she started screaming at me about the Air Supply record, or was it just me?
No, she was probably got done with screaming at me about the tennis balls. It was probably the same year.
It was a wonderful Christmas. What spirit of the season? All right, so what? So you say the Steelers scored 28 points.
28-20. I think it's going to be 28-24.
28-24.
I can't. I can't let them. I don't think they're going to kick a field goal because I'm not sure their field goal kicker is. So I think they're going to have to score four touchdowns.
If they miss the playoffs, would you support getting rid of Tomlin?
You know, this is the first year that I've heard serious. A lot of people are talking about that. I mean, you know, they're talking. I would give them. I would not. I would get rid of their defensive coordinator. I think he's. If they don't change the way they play defense next week, that they're not going to beat them. They're going to have to. They're trying to play like they've got the defenses they used to have, and they don't. I mean, so they're going to have to do some stuff that's different on defense. I blame the last game on the defense, not anything else. But I don't know, Tomlin. Would I support it? Probably not. But there are a lot of people that are apparently getting a little tired. This was supposed to be the Steelers' year. This was the year that they were going to put everything together, and it really hasn't happened that way. They looked great in the middle of the season, but the last 3 weeks have just – well, last 4 weeks, actually, the Jacksonville game was awful too, even though they won it. But the last 3 weeks have just been brutal. I mean, in terms of – I mean, you get the feeling – all the Steelers are ahead most of the game. You get the feeling they're just looking for a different way to blow the game, and that's what's happened the last 3 weeks.
All right. Well, I'll see you and Mom in a week. And the way things
we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking...
We're thinking about those imaginative type gifts that you seem like that you like to receive. You know,
yes.
I mean the ones that you remember for years and years and talk about on the radio.
Yeah, that always upsets Mom. And the way things are going, I might be able to stay at your house for a really long time. So look forward to that.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it too.
All right, thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye, Mr. Tutchin.
Take it easy. There you have it. All right, we will be back. Dennis Eckersley had a big special last night, and we can talk about that. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Tutcher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Straps. I'm like a cross between Mighty Mouse and Underdog. I need the Wonder Dog. Rick Grand.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich.
Flying through the air.
Dennis Eckersley.
Super rapper, the right fist adjusted.
He still rocks the haircut from back in the late 70s.
We're playing the wrong music bed, by the way. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the man, you know, he's sober now and he's living a good life, but you know, there's still a time where he takes out that white Loverboy tape, puts it in the deck, and just says, pedal to the metal, let's make these babies burn.
I honestly. That special last night, MLB Network, if you didn't see it, last night at 8 o'clock, they debuted. And I'm sure they're going to play it a million times, because they always do.
Well,
because what else
are they going to
play in the offseason?
Yeah.
Right, right. It's like, you know, the NHL Network, when there's no hockey, it's like the Mighty Ducks every other day.
Or in the Major League Baseball Network, it's the Sandlot every
single
day.
So you're going to see it plenty of times. I'm sure you have many chances. But it's excellent. It's an hour-long special, and the way it was set up, was that Dennis Eckersley at a, I don't know what theater it was, might have been the Chevalier Theater, but it's empty, and he just sits on a chair and starts telling all these stories about things that have been happening in his life, and he walks, you know, goes all the way through from when he was first got signed and to all the way when he was in the Nesson booth. And that dude just is, like, he's got no filter, and I love that about him. So he discussed a bunch of different things. Let's first start with when he first started getting a little bit of cash in his pocket. And when he was hanging out and when he first came to Boston, and there was a certain bar that he used to hang out at. You guys know?
Daisy's?
Daisy's, of course. That's where they all went. Everyone went to Daisy's. So let's listen to some of the early days of Mr. Dennis Eckersley.
Me and my guy Blaze used to rip up. I just run into a little money hanging at White Wall. White Wall.
By the way, Buchanan's was like the size of a shoebox.
Yeah.
It amazes
big.
Me that all of these athletes, you hear the stories about, like, you know, Zolak talks about how Bledsoe and them used to go to Daisy Buchanan's. And I'm like, man, there are a lot of bigger bars out there.
No.
Why that was the place is weird. Yep. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah. I would hang out dry. Yeah, me and Blaze would hang out drywall by the days and Blaze by the nights.
Woo!
And in Boston, Eckersley found a way to be even better than he'd been in Cleveland.
I put my nose in the game, man. I went to the mound. I would.
By that, I mean a booger sugar.
I put my nose in the game. You know, I used to, you know, maybe had a major in dealing a little acid.
I put my nose in the game, man. I went to the mound. I was hungry. I wanted outs. I had to have it.
He's got it. Ball strike.
He won 20 games for the Sox in 1978 and quickly became the toast of the town, on and off the field.
Well, I was kind of a madman.
He's going to Daisy Buchanan's, and he's between marriages, and he's just a cool dude. He's out of his mind.
Shaughnessy just walking around and, like, taking out joints out of his fro.
Dan was there at Daisy's, you know, just hanging out.
Just a cool dude. Young Dan with the fish wrap.
Ink stains.
I need more pictures of, like, swinging Shaughnessy, like, from back in the day.
Remember the girl from Dazed and Confused that was in the car with the nerds?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, with the giant red hair?
Yeah. Back then, inspired by Alice, Dan Shaughnessy had the flow cut.
Just Google red-haired woman from Days of Confused.
Yes.
And you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Right. He was just a cool dude.
I was aware that he liked to have a good time. And there was one time he gave up 5 or 6 home runs in Yankee Stadium. And I wrote a line watching the home runs. He was spinning around on the mound like he was at Studio 54. And the next day he said to me, Peter, that was a cheap shot. I said, what? The Studio 54 line. I was there.
He was like the coolest guy ever.
He took a comb out of his pocket, but it was a switchblade.
It was just cool to hear Peter Gammons without a ghost haunting the background or him being on a submarine. All the background noises that we used to get when he would do a weekly call with us.
That was a low blow, and by that means I was doing coke off the floor.
Shaughnessy. Yeah, Shaughnessy is, he's in a lot of this.
Yeah, he was a cool dude.
That's the fro up against the microphone. I'll put Tino the fro against any bit.
Yeah, do you know the fro was a good bit?
And then Kurt came up.
So he's obviously talking about the 89 World Series, Johnny Boy.
I think that's 88. Right.
88
or 89.
Yeah, so this is when Kirk Gibson shows up. And this was one of the whole segment is fantastic. And they go, they interview everyone who was involved. But here, take a listen.
You know, Gibby, interesting story too. Again, him and Pete Rose, my teammate, married twins from the Booby Trap, a strip club in Michigan. And it is believed that Gibson is still with a woman from the Booby
Now I'm going to have to look that up. That's going to bother me until I find out.
The best man in my wedding made a documentary called Meet Me at the Lindell, which was the club the bar that everyone went to after games, and they interviewed Pete Rosema, and he was just sitting there with, like, a tall boy, just like, what do you guys want? I'm Pete effing Rosema.
And then Kurt came up.
And look who's coming up.
And it was like, what theater that was.
Two out, you talk about a roll of the dice. This is it.
And I was like, oh. All I was thinking at the time was, would you get in the box? It's the worst part is being standing on the mound waiting for somebody to come. And he had a good reason to take his time because he had a bad wheel, right? We didn't think he was even going to play, really. We had a meeting before the World Series of going over the hitters. And when Gibson came up, it was really quick. Just throwing gas, you know, because he wasn't himself at all. I got ahead of him like nothing. Boom, 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 fastball. I mean, I threw him a ton of fastballs.
Fouled away again.
He looked bad. And how I got 3-2, I'll never know. And I threw him a backdoor slider that I've been living with for 30 years, man.
One of their top scouts for the
I knew it better than my right hand, if you know what I'm saying.
Their old backdoor slider?
Yeah. That's what we called. That's what I would call it when I shut the van door.
The back door slider.
Back door slider.
Bust out the black lights and the lava lamps.
I'm not going to cut. That's the one thing I'm going to walk away from this show with, the back door slider.
Like, I've been living with that for 30 years, yeah, man.
By the way, I
that
looked it up.
Was my move.
I looked it up. Gibson's still with her.
If he didn't say, all right, all right, all right, after that, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Gave him the old back door slider. In the shagging wagon, when that door closed, you knew Eck was about to get down to business.
30 years, man.
One of their top scouts for the Dodgers, they were saying if Eckersley got to a 3-2 count, he was always going to be a backdoor slider.
That's right. And then, of course, he ends up getting rocked after that. All right. When we come back, I have to play you the Dennis Eckersley love story. It's the romantic story about how he met his third wife.
Ah.
And it is seduction personified.
All right. Well, she didn't work at the booby trap.
No.
All right. So we will be right back.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello.
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the sports sub, Dennis Eckersley, who everyone loves in the booth in Nesson, is a baseball Hall of Famer. He's a man who has proudly been sober for many, many years, but he looks like a guy who still keeps pin joints in the, the ashtray of his Camaro. nonetheless, he had a big special about himself last night on the MLB Network. Rich saw it.
You got to watch it. I mean, it's fantastic.
I will take a look at that.
And one thing he talked about was, you know, he went through three marriages. The first one, he was very open about, you know, how his best friend stole his wife. He basically came to him one day and said, you know, we're in love. And he was like, all right, cool. And they still remained friends, which I thought was amazing. They talked about how, like, the two would face each other once he got traded. And everyone on the team was expecting him to, like, you know, beat him in the shoulder or something just to get back at the guy. But he's like, man, this is like the stepfather to my daughter. You know, I got to be friends with him, but on top of that, you know, I still kind of like the guy.
And plus, when the lady's away, I can play.
Apparently, you're right. And let's talk about his third, how he met his third wife. If this isn't a romantic story, I don't know what is.
Dennis Eckersley retired as a Red Sox after the 1998 season. Though that same year, a divorce from his wife, Nancy, made the transition tougher.
That's not easy, especially after being together 20 years. Understandable now when you've got the distance years to look back on it, but you have to move on, and this is a new chapter.
And sure enough, a huge part of that new chapter came by chance a few years after his retirement when he met Jennifer Zocchi.
Went to spring training with the Cardinals in 2001. The hotel that I was staying at, she happened to be there, and she was by the pool. And she was swimming, doing laps and what have you. And I didn't say anything for the longest time, but I don't know what it was. From the pool, and, you know, I put my head back so my hair would be all looking. And she came up from swimming. I said, hey, what's happening? And here we are. Been married 13 years, and it's the happiest I've ever been in my life.
So he seduced her just by going to the pool and putting his hair in the water.
What's up? Hey, double bubble. You like to go fast?
You wonder why he keeps that thing feathered, baby.
Man.
It's just a natural aphrodisiac. Just let that float in the water.
I saw your Hooters, and they're telling me you're interested.
I don't even know what that means.
Certain things are pointing north.
Pointing right at me.
Yep. Oh, man. Well, there was a moment, too, that I thought this was kind of cool. You know, the whole David Price situation, obviously, that was, you know, kind of a big deal, and then it went away. He was tight-lipped about most of it. Remember, they mentioned it a little bit in the booth when he returned. X kind of still pissed. As a matter of fact, listen to the way, was it Ron Darling in this clip, Mike? I think it was. So Ron Darling's in here talking about it as well. And that David Price situation, it's still gnawing at him a little bit.
It can be dangerous to be as blatantly honest as Eck is and pull no punches.
There's my buddy.
There was an incident on a team charter a year ago where David Price had some words for Dennis Eckersley.
The dust-up is attributed to a moment where Eck sees the
rehab assignment of Eduardo Rodriguez.
Eduardo Rodriguez made his first rehab start tonight.
Yuck.
Eck walks on the plane, and there he is, the greatest pitcher who ever lived. This game's easy for him. And players start applauding this demonstration. And it was very embarrassing for Dennis.
He said it was the most embarrassed he's ever been in his life. Now, consider that.
I don't really know what to say about it. All I can say is my side of it is like, it was humiliating. And I don't really quite get it. Because I didn't need that. I didn't builder. I've had enough character builders, you know?
When Price was asked about it, he said, well, he doesn't understand how hard this game is. I mean, no one knows how hard baseball is more than Dennis Eckersley.
How wild is that? Like, Ron Darling's like, dude, that's the most humiliated he said he's ever been in his life. And think about that for Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah, because you're a Hall of Fame pitcher that's been in intense pressure situations. You've, you know, fouled up in some of them. And then you get on a plane and this a-hole is starting to question you based on he dare critique a player on your team.
The most humiliated a guy that had, I mean, you know, they talked about how he essentially was on the wrong side of inventing the walk-off home run with Kirk Gibson. And on top of that, I mean, you had very public, you know, stuff with your marriage, about your best friend taking your wife. I mean, this is a guy who's used to massive humiliation on a personal and a professional level. And for him to still to this day say that's the most humiliated he's ever been.
Well, I mean, think about it. He's probably never been in a professional situation where he was ridiculed like that and unfairly.
And by the way, they played on that, as you heard it right there. What was the extent of what he said about Eddie Rodriguez? Was just going, yuck, looking at the stat line. I mean, if you can't be critical of someone who had a bad outing, then what are you doing?
No, David Price is just a bad guy. I mean, he's just a bad guy. There's no question about it. He's an insecure prick. I mean, he really is. I mean, that's just the end of that. I mean, he's a bad guy. And he is an entitled guy. I'm sure he's been chased by scouts as a hard-throwing lefty since, you know, he was 12 years old and had everything handed to him. And he doesn't like it when anyone says anything remotely critiquing him.
But, man, what a great special it is. It's awesome. And they go into, like, his life in the booth as well. And as you're watching it, you're just saying to yourself, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people love Jerry Remy and, you know, whatever. But every time X in the booth, it's 10 times better. It's 10 times better. And then you get all three of them in the booth. I'll admit that that's the best.
That's the best one of all.
Because at least it brings a lot out of Jerry Remy when Eckersley's in there and be able to tell these stories together. But, I mean, he's born for that. The dude doesn't have a filter anymore, and I love that. He's completely comfortable with it.
Well, he's also doing a remake of Roadhouse.
Is he really not?
Yeah, so he's got that going for him. So, all right, there'll be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.